Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The magic, the genius of Tom Hanks. He just like tweaked the performance a little bit, amped it up, put on a different voice, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, that's David Pump.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today's show features Seth's conversation with Saturday Night Live's Mikey Day, who takes a few more questions backstage just for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
The Trump administration seems permanently inundated by scandal and constantly under siege, including from senior members of Trump's own party, which might explain why many on the right seem to want to live in an alternate reality where Trump actually isn't president. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Just in the past week, senior members of the Republican Party have warned that the president is a threat to democracy and national security. And the president himself lashed out at the family of a fallen soldier. In fact, yesterday, Trump gratuitously waded back into that controversy by insisting that his account of the call he made to the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson was correct, and in the process made one of the more absurd claims of his presidency.
I was really nice to her. I respect her. I respect her family. I certainly respect LaDavid, who I, by the way, called LaDavid right from the beginning. Just so you understand, they put a chart in front, LaDavid. It says LaDavid Johnson. So I called right from the beginning. There's no hesitation. One of the great memories of all time.
His memory is so great, he has to point to his head to show us he remembers where it is.
My memory is so great, that's where I remember. That's where my memory is. It's up here in my brain, which, if I remember correctly, is inside my head. I went to a very good school.
Also, you do not have a great memory. I'm not even talking about stuff that happened a long time ago. Back in April, you couldn't even remember which country you had just bombed.
We've just launched 59 missiles heading to Iraq.
Well, you headed to Syria.
Yes, heading toward Syria.
So nice of her to correct him. Fox News hosts are like dance moms quietly doing the routine in the background so their kids won't mess up.
Syria. Say Syria.
Somehow Trump can even turn the issue of condolence calls to Gold Star families into an opportunity to brag about himself. And in an especially gross turn, he insisted that the big takeaway from his condolence calls to Gold Star families should be how great he is.
You know, it's interesting. You folks have called many people that I spoke to. Everybody has said unbelievable good things about me.
In a way, I agree with him. If they're good things, they're unbelievable. What is wrong with you? It's a condolence call. You don't get a Yelp review afterward.
I'm sorry for your loss. Now, if you wouldn't mind, please give me 5 stars.
Trump has the perverse ability to take any solemn moment and shoehorn in an absurd and excessive brag about himself. For example, Trump discussed his feuds with Republican senators who have warned that he's a danger to democracy and national security, and when asked if he should be more civil, said something that doesn't really add up.
Well, I think the press makes me more uncivil than I am. You know, people don't understand. I went to an Ivy League college. I was a nice student. I did very well. I'm a very intelligent person.
Are you? Because you talk like a Rosetta Stone video for remedial English. I was a nice student. I did very well. Where is your library? So Trump is supposedly a very intelligent person with the world's greatest memory, and people are saying unbelievable things about him. Now, to be fair, you might also have an inflated ego if there was a whole TV channel dedicated to showering you with praise. Last night, Trump sat down for his 18th interview with Fox News as president, this time with Fox Business host Lou Dobbs. And right out of the gate, Dobbs hit Trump with the tough questions.
In 9 months in office, you've already accomplished more in the way of job creation. All of the indexes at or near record levels. You have accomplished so much in that 9 months. You came into this job fighting like hell. And you are fighting like hell every day. You are, if I may say, everything is advertised as you ran for president, and appreciate everything you're doing. You're one of the most, I would say, by the left particularly, reviled, even hated men to ever hold your post.
I would say so.
You're also one of the most loved and respected.
I would say that also.
Ugh. Usually when you see an old dude slobber that much, he has a nurse with him. Mr. Dobbs, you have pudding on your chin. I'm saving it for later. Later in the Fox interview, Trump got a chance to show off that Ivy League education when talking about his relationship with China's president, who was just granted enormous new powers. So let's see our Ivy League educated president talk about perhaps the most important bilateral relationship in the world.
He represents China. I represent the USA. So, you know, there's going to always be conflict. But we have a very good relationship. People say we have the best relationship of any president, because he's called president also. Now some people might call him the king of China, but he's called president.
That's right. They have the best relationship of any president. Incidentally, president sounds like how you describe someone in comparison to Trump. Sure, Trump is a president, but Obama was a president. I love when Trump says things like, some people might call him king of China, which just gives away that's what he used to call him. So I'm gonna meet the king of China? The president, sir. Where's the king? There is no king. They killed the king. I should call the queen of China and give her one of my 5-star condolence calls. Of course, in reality, Trump has been massively unpopular and dogged by scandal, and particularly the Russia investigation, which might explain why, when they're not interviewing Trump, Fox News is much more interested in talking about the candidate who didn't win the election, Hillary Clinton. And in particular, they've tried to dredge up a series of debunked and overblown stories to muddy the waters and make it look like it was actually Hillary who colluded with Russia. Which is why, if you've watched any Fox News at all lately, you've probably heard one phrase in particular over and over again.
The big bombshell in Washington, the real Russia investigation.
Could Bill and Hillary Clinton be the center of the real Russia story?
The press secretary tweeting out last night, quote, the real Russia scandal
will take up the real Russia collusion story.
This is real Russia collusion. This is the real Russia story. Robert Mueller, wake up tonight.
Oh, you don't have to tell Robert Mueller to wake up. He's the guy who tells the rooster to wake up. Look at him. He looks like he sleeps with his eyes open in a rocking chair holding a shotgun. He paints eyelids on his eyes to trick you into thinking he's sleeping. The reason for this latest Fox News freakout is a report in the Washington Post that the Clinton campaign and the DNC paid for research that led to the infamous Russia dossier. Now, we already knew that some Democrats had paid for the research, and in fact, before that, the research was funded by a Republican client during the GOP primary. But there really is no one more obsessed with this dossier and the salacious allegations contained in them than Sean Hannity. For some reason, he repeatedly goes out of his way to discuss those embarrassing details. And now that the dossier is back in the news, it gives us an opportunity to add a new entry to one of our favorite montages, Sean Hannity trying to protect Trump from the embarrassment of the alleged P-tape by talking about the alleged P-tape. Enjoy.
Remember, that's the dossier that talked about Trump at a Ritz-Carlton in Moscow with two prostitutes urinating on his bed? Remember, they published the fake document about President Trump, and that goes to the Ritz-Carlton, and that goes to hookers. That phony dossier quoting Russians and the Ritz-Carlton and hookers. Remember, that was about the Ritz-Carlton and hookers.
They ignore the dossier, you know, talking about hookers and urinating in beds.
They've been perfectly fine repeating in public unproven information from the dossier. Remember, hookers, Ritz-Carlton, urinating on a bed? And remember, the Democrats, media, they were happy to repeat, for example, oh, that Donald Trump was in the Ritz in Moscow and he had hookers urinating in his bed.
Yeah, who would be dumb enough to repeat such an embarrassing rumor? I mean, besides BMW Frankenstein here. Fox News would much rather talk about Hillary than Donald Trump. That's because the right in the Trump era doesn't have coherent principles or an ideology. It just has enemies, which is why they prefer to inhabit an alternate reality where Hillary Clinton is president. And what little you will hear about Trump won't be negative. That is, except for...
Donald Trump was in the Ritz in Moscow, and he had hookers urinating in his bed.
This has been a closer look.
Ryan Reese, audience warrant committee for Late Night with Seth Meyers, here with Mary Lynn from Atlanta. So I'm curious, as someone who came to one of our tapings, where do you get your news from?
I listen to NPR, I watch CNN, I read the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Atlanta papers.
So we have a Republican senator who's quitting because he says he can't serve with the president because this man's dangerous. Do you think quitting government is an effective way to help serve the people?
Well, he's not quitting. He says he's not going to run again.
Yes.
And that's the difference. He is going to serve out. But this way, he can serve out without worrying about what people think back home. He can do what he actually believes he should be doing.
Steve Bannon is making headlines for trying to start a GOP civil war. What do you think this means for the future of the Republican Party?
Well, I'm expecting it to split. I'm hoping it splits.
Into what?
Into something that has the more, progressive, moderate wing of the Republicans, the people who are really about financial conservatism as opposed to just craziness.
Thanks for joining us.
You know, our guest from his work on Saturday Night Live, he co-wrote and lends his voice to the David S. Pumpkins Halloween special, which airs Saturday night at 11:30 here on NBC. Please welcome to the show our good friend Mikey Day, everybody. I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. It's my first talk show ever.
Your first talk show.
Yes.
I'm so honored to have you here.
Thank you.
So, before you were a cast member, we wrote together at SNL. And I want to make sure I have my timeline right, because then you wrote and performed on the Maya and Marty variety special before you were a cast member at SNL.
Correct.
And how was your time working with Maya and Marty Short?
It was fantastic. Those two are amazing.
Yeah.
Martin Short would totally mess with me. He likes to take people down in a fun way.
He really does.
We would be shooting sketches and there would be a studio audience, and then during stop downs, it was kind of quiet and the studio audience was just kind of looking at us, and he'd be like, Mikey, tell everyone what it's like to be the least famous person here. He's just kind of like that dude, but he's so endearing.
Yeah. It's very charming.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So you wrote, and as somebody wrote at the show, I have inherent jealousy when someone writes a hit, because David S. Pumpkins was an immediate hit of a sketch.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Tom Hanks is amazing.
Yeah, this sketch is so popular. Not only did it explode as a Halloween costume, this is a Madame Tussauds David S. Pumpkins.
And that's fantastic. What's awesome about this is you can tell they just put a David Pumpkin suit on an existing Tom Hanks.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he's so calm. And I think this is in the room that was like a Hollywood party.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just clearly Tom Hanks.
I'm so mad at myself that I did not realize that's what they did. I thought, I can't believe how quickly they made a new wax Tom Hanks.
I know, right? Let's make David Pumpkins just chilling with a nice smile on his face.
So now you have an animated David S. Pumpkin special. Yep. You were one of the voices. You co-wrote it.
Yeah, with Bobby Moynihan, Streeter Seidel.
This is an animated special. It looks a little bit, it's got like some Saturday morning cartoon graphics.
It's got a very old school kind of throwback animation style.
For kids? Is it
kid
friendly?
Yeah, that's how it came to be. We, especially after the sketch, like seeing social media and a lot of kids dressing up as David Pumpkins. I saw YouTube videos of kids acting out the sketch from beginning to end. And we thought it would be fun to do an Halloween special, like, with David Pumpkins for kids, because David Pumpkins is kind of like a kid himself. I mean, this thing is very, like, my five-year-old son does that type of thing, you know what I mean? So we decided to gear it towards kids, and there's a lot of, there's kind of like a leaving cookies for Santa Claus. There's the David Pumpkins equivalent.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, for kids.
Now, I do want to point out the time slot for your cartoon for kids is 11:30 on Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly. Which is very David Pumpkins, because you have questions.
You immediately have questions.
Yeah. And it might also be there was no room, and Lauren gave us the first half hour of SNL, but
I feel like I'm going to turn on Saturday morning cartoons, and it's going to be like a Keith Morrison Dateline about the grisliest Halloween murders. And I'd be like, you guys should have flipped these. This is in the wrong time slot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Bobby Moynihan was here and talked a little bit about the origins of the sketch. Originally, and then we have the Bobby cartoon, and then we have the you cartoon.
Yeah, and he said himself, he said, we should be left skeleton and fat skeleton.
Yeah.
Like, and I said, no, you're right skeleton.
you've been a writer now since 2013. One of my favorite things to ask, sketches that you've pitched that have not found their way to the show.
There's so many.
Yeah.
There was one I wrote with Streeter Seidel, who I wrote the David Pumpkin sketch and the special with.
Yes, a great writer as well.
We thought it was so funny. It was a commercial parody for a car security system that would guarantee that no thief would break into your car. Mm-hmm. And it was a bag of old McDonald's on the floor in your passenger seat. And you can tell by the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a huge hit.
Yeah, sure.
At the table read.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure Lauren's going to watch that when he hears that, like, audience lose their mind.
Oh, my gosh. It needs to go straight to air. But
the idea a criminal would see the bag?
Yeah, and it would, like, it had testimonials from car thieves, and they'd, you know, they were like, look, if I'm going to break into a car and I see a bag of old McDonald's on the floor, like, I know it's going to smell bad, have that old McDonald's smell.
Yeah.
And there's 10 other cars on this block that don't smell.
Right.
And then there was a deluxe system that had a leash and a wet towel in the back seat.
Gotcha.
And it was like you took your dog to the beach.
Right, there you go.
And we, Streeter and I, were like, oh, this is going to crush.
Yeah.
And then it was just nothing. And
yeah.
We're like, okay, we hate this now. It's so funny
anything
how quickly.
Else?
We had a, with Brian Tucker, we had a sketch, Mortal Kombat. It was a few years ago, Mortal Kombat 10 was coming out.
Right.
And Pete was playing a video game. And you know those character select screens where it's like, choose your fighter, and it's like, Raiden, Scorpion. Yeah. And then it was like, Raiden, Scorpion, Sonya. And then it went to Kevin Hart.
Uh-huh.
And he looked like Flava Flav, I would say. And he just went, crazy cheese. And then Pete was like, what? And then, of course, he did not want crazy cheese, and then it was like, you've selected crazy cheese.
Gotcha.
And then I just remember his combo move was Leslie Jones came out as his girlfriend and went, I'm Karen. So it was a little too complicated. Maybe someday.
Someday.
Judging by the audience response, Lauren will also...
I think I will. SNL's back next week. I think we can look forward to both McDonald's security system and Crazy
it's
Cheese.
It's going to dominate the show.
I can't wait to see the special. Thank you so much for being here, Mikey. It was just such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Mikey Day, everybody. David S. Pumpkin's Halloween special on Saturday night, 11:30 here on NBC. SNL returns live November 4th with Larry David. And musical guest Miley Cyrus.
Hey, this is Kevin, one of the producers here at Late Night. We are backstage with Mikey Day and Streeter Seidel, who is a writer at SNL and often works with Mikey.
Say hello, Streeter.
That's a true fact.
Yeah. So you guys both, you co-wrote along with Bobby Moynihan the David S. Pumpkins special that became such a huge hit last Halloween. And now you guys have this animated special. Tell me where that idea came from to do the special.
A lot of it was seeing... Actually, all of it was seeing kids, how they responded to the sketch. They would dress up, reenact the sketch. And we both have kids ourselves. And there's something very, there's a childlike quality to David Pumpkins. And so we thought it would be fun to kind of create a throwback sort of old school Halloween special, the kind that was on when we were kids, for children, starring David S. Pumpkins. So... that's kind of where the idea came from, kind of watching kids respond to the sketch, right?
Yeah, I mean, their kids are very, they are very David S. Pumpkins-esque, I guess, in that they do stuff that you can't, as a rational thinking adult, can't comprehend why they're doing it, what they're saying. You can't make heads or tails of it, but to them, it makes complete perfect sense, you know, which is kind of how David Pumpkins behaves. He makes sense to himself, but everyone else is just like, what are you doing? Who are you? Why are you doing this?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing has sort of a fun, magical vibe to it. Yeah,
and you got Tom Hanks to come in and be part of the special, right?
He agreed to it, which was awesome. So we're very thankful that he's committed to continuing the legend of David Pumpkins.
Great.
Which Tom Hanks is very, he just seems tickled by it. Like, from beginning to end, he's been kind of like, okay, I'm glad people like it. What is this?
Yeah.
Like, who is this guy? I'm glad people dig it. So it's cool that he's embraced it rather than, guys,
yeah,
I hosted, let's end it. It's cool that he's down to clown with it.
Great. And you and Bobby play the skeletons, Mikey. You guys originally, if you can sort of talk about some of the changes that the sketch went through during the week, you originally had names for the skeletons.
Oh, yeah. The skeletons collectively were known as the Skeletones. And then I was Tommy Lee Bones, and he was Oprah, which was also random. But we eventually thought that the less you know, the better.
Yeah.
So a lot of the dialogue got cut out. Originally, there was a long, like, set to a beat, sort of a old school hip hop rap about David Pumpkins, which was a lot of the skeletons going, so do you haunt? And he's like, no, but do you haunt with pumpkins? And he's like, 1,000%, stuff like that.
I mean, I still haven't given up on putting out the old school hip hop song about David Pumpkins too. I mean, we need something for next Halloween, so that might, if Tom's down, we would just love to do that.
Great.
And of course, Lady Gaga was supposed to be David Pumpkins' wife.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the elevator doors would have opened, and it would have been Lady Gaga in like a full David Pumpkins-esque suit, but it would have been witches.
She was musical guest that week on the show.
Yeah, she was musical guest.
So she was around, right. Yep.
So it would have been very witch-themed, so I think, hopefully, the audience would have been like, what's her name? Like, Windy Witches, but she was Mrs. David Pumpkins.
Of course.
But she had a very involved musical set, so she had to focus on that, so we had to lose her. But we're pumped about the ending, how it worked out, right?
Yeah, I think it's still, I remember when she was like, when we heard, like, you know, she really wants to focus on her performance and make sure that it's great, which is completely understandable. We were like, oh no, I don't know if this thing's gonna work. And turns out Tom Hanks sometimes is enough. You know, so it worked out all right in the end.
It was very fun to be.
And did it kill at dress? I mean, did it just?
It honestly did okay at dress, right?
I would say like medium good. Good enough that it was like, okay, I think it's going to be in. But it wasn't bringing the house down. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Hanks, again, the magic, the genius of Tom Hanks. You just like tweak the performance a little bit.
Yeah.
Amped it up, put on a different voice, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, that's David Pumpkin.
Yeah,
he cracked it. He cracked it on air.
We watched the dress rehearsal version of David Pumpkins recently, and it's not as sharp. Like, Bobby and I, our dancing wasn't exactly matching up and wasn't as sharp, and he just wasn't David Pumpkins yet. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I mean, the audience sort of enjoyed it, but it was very just middle of the road response.
And were you drilling the choreography between dress and air?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We were in Bobby's dressing room just going, okay, I dance here, pose. And then it was mostly figuring out pose, and then when are the butt slaps. And it was just like finding out when to react to the butt slaps and stuff.
Rarely in my life have I ever seen two people take something so stupid so seriously as in terms of like rehearsing the dancing in Bobby's dressing room and getting it perfect. I'm like, this is so dumb. These guys are just getting this thing perfect.
Yeah.
Which is the beauty of SNL, where that job where you're like, wait, let's just take a moment and step back and realize what we're doing right now. We're like going over this routine so intensely for Tom Hanks to slap our butts.
Well, I wanted to ask you, that leads in the next thing. You guys co-wrote Space Pants with Peter Dinklage. And he's also involved in the special. But
Peter Dinklage is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
He narrates the special?
Yeah, he's so cool. And we had such a good time in Space Pants. And then I emailed him and said, we wrote this with you in mind. Obviously, I'm sure you're busy. I'm sure you're doing Game of Thrones, wherever you are. But if you have any time, I feel like we could knock this out in an hour if you can do it. And then he wrote back like 15 minutes later and just said, I'm in. And then did a little rhyming couplet. Like,
gotcha.
My voice has a flow. It was very, very Dinklage, very cool.
Great.
Yeah, he really, he understood it right away. And we're like, I think we picked the right guy here.
Mikey, you and Seth talked a little bit about it, but you, Streeter, you and Mikey write together often, right? Mikey, you and Seth talked about some sketches that didn't quite make it, but there are some other ones that you guys were talking about here that I wanted you to take some time to explain of things that didn't make it either past the table read or the dress rehearsal.
Recently, we had a sketch that we were really pumped about that did not go well at the table read at all. But it took place on the Carpathia. I'll let you set the scene on this one, Streeter.
The Carpathia was the ocean liner that picked up the Titanic survivors. And it was also a luxury ocean liner. And so the sketch took place a day after they had picked up all these Titanic survivors. And it starred Mikey and Chris Pine as, I think, the hospitality manager and the entertainment director.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the people in charge of the events for the people. Because the Carpathia was essentially a cruise ship, right?
It was a Titanic-level luxury ocean liner. You know, this was like a big deal for the passengers of the Carpathia who had paid insane amounts of money. We like looked up what the tickets were in today's money. It was like a first-class room was like $20,000.
Okay.
So these people had paid a ton of money for this once-in-a-lifetime experience, and then they picked up like 700 sad, loud, crying Titanic survivors. So that was sort of the backdrop for the sketch, and Mikey and Chris Pine were having to have a meeting with the Titanic survivors about things like, guys, don't just take any blanket you see. I know you guys have been cold in the water, but... some of these guys, we want to make sure that their vacation isn't ruined by your comfort. Like that.
It was a lot of just like, guys, just so you know, the cigar and book night is not for Titanic passengers, only because Carpathia passengers paid a lot of money, like the whole thing.
You guys were doing, like you had a little, always going... And I can't even imagine what you've been through. Oh, my God, what you've been through. I'm so sorry.
Anytime they'd talk to a Titanic passenger, they'd be like, my God, what you've been through. My heart goes out to you. But the thing is, that person paid $1,000 for the captain's dinner. I mean, we thought the historical context was very humorous. Obviously, the experience was not humorous, but the idea of...
But we're also 100 years on now. I think we can... It's okay.
Yeah, I just want to make it... I just want to make it clear that's how we feel. But the idea of the entertainment directors who are in charge of making sure the Carpathia first-class passengers have a nice vacation, just sort of trying to delicately manage the Titanic passengers.
Not trying to bum anybody out.
Had a humorous element to us.
Yeah. We also had one where this was one of our worst bombs of all time that we also thought was going to be hysterical.
Yeah.
Disney World has a jail. Disneyland, too. If people are like drunk in the park or whatever, before the real cops come, they take you to their little holding cell. So we had written a whole sketch that takes place in the Disney jail, and it was a very, like, Oz-like environment, but everyone in there was like, welcome to the Mouse House, ooh, here comes the Aladdin parade, and it was like, fresh fish, and they were singing Disney songs, and we were cracking up, and it just ate it out there. My God.
Oh. Did it go to dress rehearsal?
No. It was so quiet. We thought it was so, like, Matthew McConaughey was walking around like he was the top dog in Disney jail. Uh-huh. And all the inmates had been there like 6 hours, hours. And he was like, hey, if you want to like make your way in here, it's all about fast passes, son. And then he was like, and then remember he led everyone through like, here's who we got in here. We got, it was like kids who were caught vaping, you know what I mean?
All these like very minor stupid things that you would get in trouble for at Disneyland or Disney World. I believe Keenan was in a cell and he started singing the Lion King song, I think, at one point.
Oh, right. Like the parade passed by the window and they were like, Nas. And like Matthew McConaughey played like someone out of Oz.
Uh-huh.
We thought it was so funny. It had a Locked Up Abroad intro.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, I think, the most quiet sketch I've had at the table read. So quiet to the point where I was drenched in sweat, like flop sweat.
I would say normally when we have a sketch, you go in kind of knowing how it might do. You're like, I think this one might be okay. We went into this one going, this thing's gonna crush. It's got everything. It's perfect. And then never has the disparity been that great between what we thought was going to happen and what did happen. And then, of course, I'll bring up our last one.
Which one?
RoboCop.
Oh, yeah. RoboCop.
I still have not given up.
We pitched this a few times. The first was with Chris Rock where, you know, RoboCop, he's badly injured in the line of duty and his body's destroyed. He's rebuilt like mostly machine, somewhat man. And then so it was a big unveiling of the new police machine. And they were like, we'll work on the name. And then so they unveil a police machine and he just comes out and then they turn him online and then he's just like, where is my penis? And he's just hyper focused on where his penis is, right?
And he's just obsessed with what happened to his penis. And they're like, police machine, do you remember anything? And he's like, I remember having a penis. Where is it?
And they were like, show us your targeting abilities. He's like, okay, but where is my penis though? And they're like, I don't know. It might be in a bio unit on 71st. He's like, my penis is across town. We thought it was so funny, but maybe it didn't get on because we said penis 84 times.
Yeah, I think that might have been a standards note for gratuitous mentions of the word
tonnage?
Penis. Yeah,
tonnage issues.
It was
a
penis tonnage problem, I think. Right. That's what I'm choosing to believe.
Sure.
Every once in a while, we have like the 10-year-olds in us are like, we have a sketch where we see penis all the time.
Sure. And you guys, Larry David next week. You guys are off this week and then
we're
coming
so
back with Larry David next
return
week.
The return.
Right.
We love him. We wrote a sketch for him called FBI Simulator, but he played a guy named Kevin Roberts in an orange suit, and it's one of our favorite things we've written. We're so excited that he's coming back. We have some ideas for him too, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been coming in this week to work on David Pumpkin stuff, but just naturally have spent about half the time talking about Larry David ideas just because it's so, I mean, someone that funny coming in, you're like, well, let's start now because we don't want to waste this dude's time. We want to give something good.
Yeah.
He is the coolest guy. Like, for what he's done and his very accomplished career, you'd think he would be, you know, he has the right to be like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't think it, but he's so, like, whatever you guys want. I just can't believe I'm here. This is crazy. Yeah.
Did you get him talking a bit about his time on the show when he was a writer on the show at all? Did he talk about that with you guys?
I don't know if he talked about it that much when he was there.
Right.
He just had this vibe of like, I mean, why am I here? This is crazy. Yeah. I mean, like, whatever you guys want to do, let's have fun. Great. Whatever you guys want.
Which is like so refreshing because someone of his like comedic caliber, you're like, oh no, I'm going to pitch this guy a joke and he's going to chew me out and tell me I'm a fraud and a hack. And he would be within his rights to do that. As Mikey said, he's like, he's earned it, you know? But he was just so game for whatever and down to like goof around. Yeah, and you're like, oh God, thank God.
Oh yeah. He'd be like, how do you want me to say that? And you try and phrase it. He's like, just do a line reading, man. Like,
great.
He's just so cool and so good, and it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, great. Looking forward to it. And again, looking forward to the special this weekend. And guys, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.